Good morning. Today's sermon will be given by Pastor Stephen Jurdy in this worship service, coming to you from Zion Lutheran Church in downtown Wausau, Wisconsin. We invite you to join us in praising God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit through this worship service. The service begins with the prayers for confession and absolution. Then the congregation will sing the entrance hymn, Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, number 549 in the Lutheran Book of Worship. The organist is Cantor Irene Beatty. Providing minister is Pastor Stephen Jurdy.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Almighty God, whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the church, and by the authority of Christ, I therefore forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Holy Church, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth.
God, our refuge and strength, the author of all godliness, hear the devout prayers of your church, especially in times of persecution, and grant that what we ask in faith we may obtain. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The Old Testament lesson for the 15th Sunday after Pentecost is written in the 50th chapter of Genesis. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "It may be that Joseph will hate us and pay us back for all the evil that we did to him." So they sent a message to Joseph saying, "Your father gave this command before he died. Say to Joseph, please forgive the transgression of your brothers and their sin, because they did evil to you. And now, please forgive the transgression of the servants of the God of your father." Joseph wept when they spoke to him. His brothers also came and fell down before him and said, "Behold, we are your servants." But Joseph said to them, "Do not fear. For am I in the place of God? As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. So do not fear. I will provide for you and your little ones." Thus he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. The word of the Lord.
Bless the Lord, O my soul.
Psalm 103.
And all that is within me, bless his holy name. He forgives all your sins and heals all your infirmities. Satisfies you with good things, and your youth is renewed like an eagle's.
The Lord is the king's righteousness.
He made his ways known to Moses, and his works to the children of Israel. Not always accuse us, nor will he keep his anger forever. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so is his mercy great upon those who fear him.
The epistle is written in the 14th chapter of St. Paul's letter to the Romans. As for the one who is weak in faith, welcome him, but not to quarrel over opinions. One person believes he may eat anything, while the weak person eats only vegetables. Let not the one who eats despise the one who abstains. And let not the one who abstains pass judgment on the one who eats, for God has welcomed him. Who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? It is before his own master that he stands or falls, and he will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make him stand. One person esteems one day as better than another, while another esteems all days alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. The one who observes the day observes it in honor of the Lord. The one who eats eats in honor of the Lord, since he gives thanks to God, while the one who abstains abstains in honor of the Lord and gives thanks to God. For none of us lives to himself, and none of us dies to himself. If we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living. Why do you pass judgment on your brother? Or you, why do you despise your brother? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, "As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God." So then, each of us will give an account of himself to God. The word of the Lord.
Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 18th chapter.
Lord,
Then Peter came up and said to Jesus, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? As many as 7 times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you 7 times, but 70 times 7. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold, with his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything. And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, Pay what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, Have patience with me, and I will pay you. He refused and went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. Then his master summoned him and said to him, You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you? And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. The Gospel of the Lord. Let us confess the faith with one heart. I believe in God the Father.
In response to the word of God, the congregation sings the hymn of the day, Come Down, O Love Divine, hymn number 508.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We give thanks on this day for a special and unexpected blessing. Vicar Joe Pinzel was scheduled to preach the sermon for this weekend, but earlier yesterday, baby Pinzel decided to come early. And so Vicar Joe and his wife Samantha are now the proud parents of a baby girl, Eloise Rubley. Rubley is the maiden name of Samantha. And Eloise was 20 inches, 7 pounds, 9 ounces. So I suspect they're probably listening over the radio right now from their hospital room. And as I told the crowd yesterday at Saturday night service, when every now and then when I would come home from school, I would say to my mom, what's for supper? My mom would say, well, a little bit of everything. And what she meant by that is the day didn't go the way she expected it, and so we're having a little bit of everything. And today's sermon will be a little bit of everything. All right. Vicar Pinzel did prepare a sermon here. I'm going to work from that with some of my own thoughts as well. Do you remember a time when all you wanted to be was like your parents? Sometimes we see children playing peekaboo or a little boy following his father with a toy lawnmower. In our earliest days, we want to be like our parents, and sometimes that changes, of course, as we get older and we think we want to be just the opposite of our parents. But at the bedrock of our character and in those formative years of our toddlerhood, we take on the identity of our families. The same way, we are members of the family of Jesus Christ. And we have an identity that we take on, the identity of our Heavenly Father. We have been baptized into His name. We have been given His supper, the family table, to eat and to drink. We confess His name. We learn the family stories, as it were. And so we also, as Christians, at the root of our identity, take on that identity given to us by our Father in heaven. The question then becomes, when we look at Him, what do we imitate? If a little boy imitates how his father mows the lawn, how do we imitate our Father in heaven? The answer comes from looking at Jesus Christ, who reveals the Father to us. What do we see in Christ? We see perpetual and steady and eternal forgiveness. Not only did Jesus famously forgive those who crucified Him, not only did He forgive the disciples who had abandoned and denied Him, but Christ's entire life, His entire ministry, was a ministry and life of forgiveness as He touched the untouchable and as He preached repentance and as He ate and drank with sinners. And now that ministry continues in His resurrection life as we gather around His table and He touches us and makes us holy, as He did the folks back then. In Jesus, we see what God wants us to imitate. As He says in today's gospel, not to forgive someone 7 times, but 70 times 7, 490 times. And if you actually start keeping a record sheet of those 590 times, you're missing the point. Jesus chose a number of times that would burst all of our bookkeeping. And here we come to a problem, don't we? We as children of God don't always embody His Son and the forgiveness He brings. And sometimes that sin strikes us more harshly than others. To sin within a family, for example, or within a marriage, is to sin within close quarters. To sin between colleagues and friends and neighbors and strangers, they all have different effects, but they are all sins that divide us. And within that division, within the icy silence that follows, our ancient enemy comes to sow contempt for each other. You see, the old adversary wants his piece of the pie. And what tastes more sweet to him than division? The more distance he can try and place between you and your brother or your father and your mother, your neighbors, your colleagues, your friends, your fellow Christians, all the better for him. For he cannot withstand a united church. He cannot withstand a united body of Christ, and so your devil is working all the time to divide it, to get you to imitate him and not your Father. Where God speaks grace, the devil speaks judgment, and he wants you to do the same. Where God reveals his love in Christ, the devil shows only hate, and he wants you to do the same. Like the unforgiving servant in today's gospel, even a small debt becomes too much for our pride to handle when the devil gets a hold of our hearts. And before we know it, our righteous anger has become suffocating to others and to ourselves. So in order to beat the devil back and to free you from his grip, Christ shows the way to you ahead of time. In today's gospel, he speaks of how his Father's forgiveness will not get to you if you don't forgive. Just as the forgiving rich man in today's lesson jailed the steward that he forgave for failing to forgive, Jesus says, so will my heavenly Father do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from the heart. Those are harsh words. But to put it simply, if you who are children of the Father and who have therefore seen your Father forgive, don't imitate him, does his forgiveness really rest on you? If a child does not eat the way he sees you eating, will he ever be full? God's forgiveness is eternal. If we keep saying no to forgiveness, will it get to you? Well, your Lord Jesus says, yes, it will. Yes, it will get to you. And that is why he has spoken these words. Because there is a sense in which he wants you to ask the questions that it prompts. Have I really forgiven as I have been forgiven? When we ask that question, we start thinking first of those folks whom we have not forgiven, second of those folks whom we have forgiven, but of whom we still remain a little suspicious. We think perhaps of those folks who haven't forgiven us. We think perhaps we will fail to forgive in the future. But before those fears get too big for you, remember whom your Lord is and why he wants you to ask those questions. Jesus is not the one who is ever against you, but he is always for you. When he speaks, he only speaks to help you, to free you, to forgive you, and to enliven you. He does not speak to damn you. He does not hold you in contempt. He wants you to ask those questions so that you start looking outside of yourself, so that you stop trusting your own ability to forgive. You look beyond yourselves to him and to what he has done. Remember, this is the Jesus who carried all sins on the cross. And if he forgave those who crucified him, if he forgave even Peter and the disciples who abandoned him, do you think he won't forgive you? Do you think he won't forgive even your inability to forgive? This is the Jesus who is never against you. You are forgiven. And so Jesus speaks these words to strengthen you in your fight against the devil, so that you may enjoy the full power of forgiveness in the end. To put it differently, if you find yourself struggling to forgive someone, that is, if you find yourselves worried about whether or not you've done it, rejoice and leap for joy, for the kingdom of heaven has come near you. Working hard to forgive someone and wishing that you could forgive more and feeling badly that you haven't forgiven enough, that's the proof that the mercy of God has poured down on you like balm and oil, rustling up your spirit to Christ's better way, freeing you from the grip of the devil and turning your eyes outside of yourselves to the one who does forgive. Or to put it still another way, if you cannot forgive from the heart, then pray for a new heart. Why hold on to an old one that doesn't work? See, some Christians sometimes make it sound as though once you become a Christian, you should be fully transformed and obedient to God, always doing his will, but the truth is very different. Becoming a Christian doesn't mean that you've arrived at glory. It means you've headed towards glory. It means that God has chosen you to have a new heart and a new body and a new soul. And for now, he gives you all that in Jesus, received by faith in Jesus, the new man, the risen one, given to you freely at the supper, freely in his word. And at the end, he will give all that to you in your flesh and in your experience at the resurrection of the dead. In the meantime, we pray for the Spirit to work through us as he pleases, for that resurrection to work backwards on God's schedule, for it to work in us to the extent that God wills. We pray for God to give us new hearts, to help us to forgive where we cannot. And we confess that we fail to forgive, and we hurry to the table where we see forgiveness practiced and where we find ourselves forgiven. That prayer, that confession, that hope, that supper, they are our spiritual weapons in the battle. And we engage the battle with that ancient enemy who poses as a father, but who is really just a poser. He is a destroyer. We fight against imitating his judgment and condemnation. We fight for imitating our Father and his mercy. And through it all, know this. God has given up his right to be angry at you. He gave up that right when he gave up his son. Just as a father never quits being a parent to his children, neither will God cease working for you. Don't cease with each other. Cross the boundary. Hang on to each other. Be like children who cling to the family and life and customs that their father has given them. Because it's the only life they know, and it is pure joy. May the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Most Holy Father, you are eternally forgiving and perpetually kind. Equip the members of your church not only to pray for, but also to live and to share the forgiveness that you have promised through the death and resurrection of your beloved Son. Lord, in your mercy, as your Son prayed for his enemies on the cross, so may all who suffer for his name bless and not curse, that their persecutors may repent from their evil and be forgiven. We remember our brothers and sisters in Turkmenistan, Qatar, and Egypt. Lord, in your mercy, strengthen your servant Elliot with his wife Serena and their family as he prepares to serve your holy word as a translator. Keep their lamps ever burning with wisdom, love, and steadfast faith. Lord, in your mercy, grant that the quilts lovingly made by the women of this congregation may comfort your people not only with warmth, but also the knowledge of the charity and affection of your church. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for all who are crushed beneath a load of debt, financial or moral. Grant them the humility to ask for help, and grant them a wise and blessed solution. Lord, in your mercy. Be merciful to this broken world, dear Lord. Teach our leaders to rule with justice that is tempered with mercy, and grant to all of us a spirit of patience and kindness. Lord, in your mercy. Renew the life and health of all who call on you. We remember Les and Bill, Ivan, Vicky, Hazel, Carol, Rita, Jack, Maggie, Barry, Luann, Chris, Lynn, Rick, Dan, Avery, Dolores, Ray, Sally, Betty, Tina, Mary, Barb, Mike, Junior, Krista, Joanna, Renee, Doris, Erin, Anna, Evelyn, Jane, and Nancy. Heal all their infirmities and crown them with your loving kindness. Lord, in your mercy. Most Holy Father, we praise your great goodness toward everyone who has died trusting in you. Hallow among us the memory of your servant Kathy Lewitsky, as her husband Mark commemorates their anniversary. grant him joy, and fill all their family with the hope of your Son's brilliant resurrection and victory over death. Grant that whether we live or die, we may know that we are wholly yours. And when we die, raise us to that perfect and glorious life which you bestow upon all whom you have redeemed from the grave. Lord, in your mercy. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Following worship tonight, today, you do have a special opportunity between services in our church hall. We will be serving pie and ice cream, partly because it's fun to do that, and partly because we have a special guest with us today, Elliot Derricks and his wife Serena, with their daughters Lydia and Josephine. Elliot is preparing to be a Lutheran Bible translator. You may remember the Pflugers who were here some years in the past. We give thanks that Elliot and Serena are now among us, and please come hear about their ministry and where that will lead them. We receive our offerings.
Out of love for God and in order to support the work of the church, the congregation is now placing its offering into the baskets being passed by the ushers. Pastor Jurdy will then lead the congregation in the sacrament of Holy Communion. During the distribution, the congregation will sing two hymns, Awake, O Sleeper, number 745 in the hymnal supplement with one verse, and Alleluia, Sing to Jesus, number 158 in the Lutheran Book of Worship. Today's radio broadcast is sponsored in loving memory of Lawrence O'Grady.
Let us pray. Merciful Father, we offer with joy and thanksgiving what you have first given us, ourselves, our time, and our possessions, signs of your gracious love. Receive them for the sake of him who offered himself for us, Jesus Christ, our Lord. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, O Lord, Holy Father, through Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, gave it to the disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, given for you. This do in remembrance of me." The same way also he took the cup after the supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. As often as we eat this bread and drink this cup,
thank you.
please join us at the same time next Sunday morning. The church sanctuary is located at the corner of 6th and Grant Streets in downtown Wausau, Wisconsin. Worship services at Zion Lutheran Church are Sunday mornings at 9 and 11 a.m., Saturday evenings at 5:15 p.m. Sunday school for children is held at 9:15 a.m. each Sunday. Adult Bible study is held each Sunday at 10:15 in the church hall. You are invited to attend Zion's hymn festival celebrating the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. The festival will be held Sunday, October 1st at 3 p.m. in the church nave. The guest organist is Robert Hobby, and the hymn commentator is Reverend Michael Costello. Zion has been broadcasting for 80 years. The Wausau Lutheran Hour continues to bring you the saving gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We welcome your letters and your comments. Our address is Zion Lutheran Church, 709 6th Street, Wausau, Wisconsin, 54403. May our Savior, Jesus Christ, be with you and grant you a joyful and blessed day.
Let us pray. We give you thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through the healing power of this gift of life. We pray that in your mercy you would strengthen us through this gift in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another, for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord.